Welcome to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. This is Volume 2, Episode Number 17. Our air date is Thursday, June 27, 2024. I'm your host, C. Willie. I am joined again this week by the lovely and talented
Hunter P.
She hasn't left this time because I locked the doors. So we're still doing well. Our special guest, and we didn't know if we were going to be able to make this happen because we were having all kinds of technical challenges, but we finally got it to work. And we are welcoming this week, Brent Moreau. Brent, welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, better now that we can hear you.
Right? Yeah.
That's some fun. You know, technology's great until it's not. And we were finding that out today.
Yes, sir. I hear you. It's been eventful already, but in a good way.
Yeah, we got it. It's more things we've got on our checklist now. So we're
perfect.
Hey, you know, Brent and I were talking a little offline here before we started, and this is a cool thing to me is Brent plays the kind of country music that C. Willie absolutely loves. This is the big sound. This is the stadium stuff. And Brent, tell me about, from your standpoint, what some of your influences are, but tell me about your sound.
So that's a great question because it's really hard to get that sound. Like, I went to Nashville and recorded a whole album, put all sorts of money into it, and put everything into it, really. And I swear on the drive home, I could have thrown it out the window because it didn't have my sound. And then when I came back to Michigan, I got with a guy who's very good at capturing that big sound that we like. And I've always been like I don't know if this makes sense, but like a percussion guitar player where I kind of like keep the beat going with my hand mostly. And then my brother's a drummer where he grew up on punk rock. And I feel like when all that comes together, if you can capture it the right way, you get a really cool sound. And I think once we got that nailed down with that big sound on, especially Fine Wine, my single, it was like, I don't want to record with anyone else. Cause I try with everyone else and you always get a different sound somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, and we've got that one queued up second tonight, but let's talk about that just for a quick second, because that's where I really hear it. When I listened the first time to Fine Wine, and you've got that kind of soft, mellow intro, and then all of a sudden, bang.
And right. Well, the cool thing about that one is like, that one's, if anyone wants to go, like, listen to me, I always show them that one first, because I'm proud of that one, as in, like, the sound of it, and I really... Some of my songs I can't even listen to. Like I just critique them so much. But that one I'm definitely not afraid to show people that one because I'm just proud of that one. You know,
that's a great tune.
Thank you.
The one that we've got queued up first today I love too, and that's Gray Bar Inn. Tell me a little bit about the makings of the. And I'll tell you something. And this is just because C. Willie's a little on the slow side.
Okay,
it took me a little bit to figure out. Oh, I know what this song means now. Hey, this is okay. I get this. So tell me a little bit about the background on this.
The background. I'll give you the background of that was the first song I've ever wrote.
Was it really?
And that was the first song I ever wrote. And when I was younger, I was probably 19. And I stole my older brother's ID to get into a bar so I could play in front of people.
Oh, no.
And in this. What's that?
A legitimate purpose.
Yeah, so I did that, and I was using my brother's ID to get in. Well, I did it so many times where these bands, they'd go and take their breaks, and I go, can I please play your break, please? And they'd be like, yeah, do you have a guitar? And I'd be like, yeah. And I would get in there. Well, I started getting comfortable to where everyone knew me in that bar as my brother's name.
Oh.
So I'd have to answer to my brother's name when I was in there. And I would get really comfortable. And one night I made the mistake of, I mean, you're a 19-year-old kid in a bar. You feel like you just struck gold.
You own the world.
Yeah. And I had a little fun one night. And I said, if you guys like what I'm doing, don't tip me. Just buy me a shot. Well, like four shots came up. And again, you're 19 in a bar. It's a new thing to you. Why not? This is everything I wanted for a little bit, you know. And
you bet.
Well, then it came time to drive home. Well, I was driving home and I went to text my girlfriend if she needed anything from the gas station. That was it. And I pulled into a gas pump and I paid my consequences when I saw red and blue lights behind me.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I know I hate admitting that, but the truth is like, I feel like I am so grateful for that experience, because it scared the crap out of me, for real. It's like, the thing is it changed my perspective on a lot of things, and I feel like I came out better from it. But that's what the Gray Barn is about, is facing consequences. Okay, so this is one of the I want to say this before we play it. This one is a song, but I need to go. I think we're going to re-record this one, but this is definitely, I got very fortunate to have John Party's slide guitar player Andy on this, and I have Chris Stapleton's guitar player is playing guitar and singing harmonies with that. And it's just crazy to look back and, like, I was just a kid when I wrote this, and now I look at these guys that were just struggling guys, and now they're super, you know, I want to give them their props too, because like I said, those guys really helped me on this.
You got the stars on this with you. Hey, that's all right. Let's give this a listen. Brent Moreau and Gray Barn.
I never said I was perfect. You came up with that on your own. You left me at the bar with some Tennessee whiskey. Ain't planning on coming home. Now Jack said he ain't driving. I guess it's all up to me. Those blue and red lights are shining in the mirrors. They're pointing right at me. So now I'm sitting here on my own, wondering how I'm getting home. You know me, I just need some Jack to even out of thinking, drinking, smoking again. Well, yes, officer, I've been drinking. I don't need no trouble at all. Just trying to get home to my ball and chain. She can rip my head clear right off. So now I'm sitting here on my own, wondering if I'll make it home. You know me, I just need some Jack to eat, and I've been thinking, drinking, smoking again. This time, I know I'm in trouble. I got these two things behind my back called my hands. I got the right to remain silent. And I'm headed back downtown where I just came from. Well, now I found me a ride to a bar with no last call. It's called the Gray Bar in hell. If you get in a bind, they'll even give you one phone call. On my own, wondering if I'll make it home. You know me, I just need some Jack to eat, and I've been thinking, drinking, doing it again. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Are you kidding me?
So yeah. Well, I just did that little voiceover in the studio, like mocking my girlfriend at the time, and they caught it and they're like, that's hilarious. But then when we did, that's the one I recorded in Nashville. And I every time I hear it, I laugh, because I want to re-record the vocals on that on my end. Yeah. Cause I feel like every time I listen to that, I was a 22 year old kid, and I thought I was so damn cool, and man, was I wrong.
Hey, that's what happened to us at that age, though.
I had to be humbled that.
Yeah. That's a great tune. Gray Barn, Brent Moreau, and a real life story.
Yeah. I feel like all my stuff, I try to stick to keeping it real life. Like, the crazy thing is like, we're going to be putting out an album pretty soon. And people are like, what are you going to put on your next one? I'm like, I got to be honest. The craziest part is this first album, I feel like this is with everybody. It's like, it's your whole life, you know? And then you got 2 years to, or a year to come up with more, you know? I feel like the first album is literally your whole life experiences about, you know, growing up or like stuff you like to do or happy things or sad things, you know?
And then you are under pressure.
100%.
Something more for the rest of it. What's how does that influence your process? And what is your process? How do you write songs? What do you do?
I would say for me, it's how I feel at the time. Like if you know, I go on a date and have a really good time, or like hang out with someone I haven't seen in a long time, or it could also go the other way. Like where if you're on an ultimate high, or you can be on an ultimate low. With like, I mean, you'll definitely hear it in the songs because you can just tell, you know. Yeah. And if you, I've noticed there's a couple songs that like I've wrote in 10 minutes that came out great. Like Gray Bar Inn, that was me and my buddies jokingly saying things. And I kind of wrote that with like three friends just throwing in suggestions. And that's pretty much the only one that I ever had help writing. Like most of my stuff is literally just me. You know,
It's
that process though. I know a lot of people will write it out like poetry, but for me, I kind of find like a melody, like, and it happens anywhere. I like yesterday I was in the shower and I had a really good hook and like one sentence, and it was stuck in my head for like 6 hours. And I was like, that's, I got to put this to paper because it's driving me nuts now. Yeah. And I treat my writing as kind of like therapy of like, this is what I'm going through. I'd like to get it down on paper. And I don't know, even when I was a kid, we did poetry, I think in like fourth or fifth grade. And I took to that so well, where I was like, really, I could do anything with it. It could be funny. It could be just rhyme. It could just, for some reason that just came pretty natural to me to write stuff like that. And even now, like when I'm out playing shows, sometimes I'll literally freestyle lyrics for people like where I'm at the time. And it's gotten easier the more that I do it, I guess I would say.
It's interesting to me that you say that, because I've heard that from a number of the folks that we've interviewed. And I think that's the thing about performers. That's the thing about musicians. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it'll hit you in that 15 minutes I've got a hit. Sometimes it's going to be that one hook that you talked about that's going to stick with you. But eventually that's going to become the song. And it might take 6 months to get that
right
the way you want it. There's no real protocol that says this is how you write a song. It's going to be different for everyone at every time. You feel that?
100%. I think the biggest thing that the biggest hurdle I had to do was be able to be vulnerable and really put yourself out there and not really worry about what anyone thinks about it. And it's the ones where I really was like vulnerable and put it out there and kind of took a risk on maybe looking bad or looking, you know. And I've had people come up to me and kind of say, hey, that really meant something to me. And like, I have one song that it's on YouTube. We haven't put it out yet, but I have a couple that shows up to, I would say 90% of my shows, and that's their song. Like that's, they come and when I play it, it's their song. You know, and it's just special to people. And that's just, I mean, as I've gotten older, that's what it really means to me, is like just kind of making people happy, I guess.
That's the connection. When your fans are connecting with a particular song, and it may not be the one that you think they will.
Right.
You know, there are several for me with several different artists that mm-hmm. this is your song to me. And, you know, and like you say, it might not be the one that you thought this was going to be my big hit, but you opened yourself up and they can relate because they've gone through the same thing. Mm-hmm.
I've had people come up and say, oh, this song. I'm like, really? That one? It's like, that's the one you like? I hated that one.
There's a little different side to Brent Moreau that wanted to bring up a little bit. And we just kind of stumbled upon this, but
it's pretty cool.
You like the two-wheelers.
I live for them, man. That's my first love. Is my brother and I grew up, we had four-wheelers at a young age and rode them around my dad's house till there was a legit circle track. Just rode them every single – when we get home, I'd throw the helmet on, and that was all I knew, all I loved. And then my dad said, if you get straight A's, I'll buy you a brand new dirt bike. And I'm like, you're on. I got straight A's. I don't know how I did it, but I did. And
you had the incentive.
And the very last day of school, there it was. And we were off to the races after that. We'd travel a bunch. And I was always on the motorcycles. My brother and I are so close in age where I was the guy that I like showing off and having fun with it and just hitting jumps. And I could go pretty fast, but my brother was always faster than me. And I could stay right behind him. I don't think I've ever passed him in my entire life. And it drives me nuts.
But he hold that over your head too?
No, because he can't do the stuff I can do. Like the tricks.
There you go.
I would be the one. Everyone said Brent does all the tricks and all the crazy stuff, and Caleb's just fast, you know? And I was okay with that title.
Sure.
I felt like if people are coming out to watch, they'd want to watch me rather than him go fast.
You can take second or third place, but man, the jumps.
Well, that was like the thing is one that comes to mind is we were going to a race and my bike was broke at the time. And my buddy goes, hey, race my 450. And that's like the biggest bike you can race. And it was brand new. And I was like, I won't lose this race on this bike. Well, last minute, he's like, dude, I'm so sorry. It's making a noise. I hate to do this to you. I know you're already there. I can't do it. Well, my other buddy who was there, he's one of my best friends, but he's not worried about anything at all ever. And he goes, then race my bike. And his was a complete dump of a bike. It was terrible. I go, dude, I can't win on this thing. And I ended up getting lucky and I won. But then the last lap I went and started doing a bunch of tricks and everyone was getting like, they were into it. And yeah, that's one that comes to mind. That was a lot of fun.
There you go. You went from the Cadillac to the Vega and still won.
I went to the Geo Metro of.
Now, has your number always been 572?
That's me. That's always been. I got that at a young age, and I've. It's like when you race motorcycles, everyone has a number, and I like all my friends. It feels like you have that number for life. You know that number always rings true, and I kind of wanted to name the album 572, honestly, but I gotta.
Songs about it.
What's that?
Have you written any songs about your motocross experience?
I've tried. I have some lyrics with it, but I would really like to start, you know, a song about that, you know, because that was like my whole life. And when I was young, that was all I cared about. But it was hanging out with buddies for the whole weekend and all we do is ride. Or when you get on the line and there's 40 people, it's so nerve-wracking to where every time you'd be in staging, you're telling yourself, why did I do this? Why did I bring myself? Like, because the truth is we have friends that have passed from this, you know, and it's possible, you know, and you know that going in and you're still willing to take the risk. And I'll be honest, when the starting gate drops, it's war. You're literally going to war for 30 minutes. And when you cross that finish line, the adrenaline's so high that it's like, when can I do that again? Because that was, I feel like I got away with one there because I was up against everything and got away with it.
Do you think that transfers into your music?
Yes and no. Like the big shows, you definitely get nervous and you're like, why did I sign myself up for this? But it does give you, but you don't have the feeling like I might die playing this show.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah, it's a little safer. Yeah. Just don't fall off that stage.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about your debut single, Fine Wine. And yep. Again, we talked a little bit about this at the front end. This is C. Willie goes nuts on songs like this. I'll tell you, you're doing what I would love to do. If I could start over again at a young age and learn to play and be up there playing a song like Fine Wine on a big stage in front of a big crowd, that's everything. So this is the big sound. This is the stadium. Tell us a little bit about this song.
So this song, again, this was like an earlier song, but I was just in the mood. I was having a good day and I picked up my guitar and I was standing in the kitchen and I had the little hook melody to it and I loved it. But then I set down the guitar and had a notepad And my best friend, who I love to death, I texted him a picture of my guitar, a stool, and a piece of paper. I said, any ideas? And this was at like 10:30 in the morning. And I sent him that picture. He sends back, he's holding a wine glass at 10:30 in the morning with red wine in it. And he holds it up and sends a picture and says, fine wine, bourbon, and shine. And I'm like, that is awesome. And I feel like 20 minutes later, I almost had the thing done just because it's such a hook. And there's certain songs where they just kind of write themselves, honestly. And they're some songs I feel like I'm not waiting on them. They're waiting on me, you know, I guess, if that makes any sense, where some of them are very difficult to write and some of them are very easy. But that's where that one came from. And some of the lyrics, I guess, would be like showing up somewhere and that girl that you're crazy about, she's there and you're super nervous and you get the butterflies, you know. Other than that, I feel like I kind of wanted to write something that is just fun. It's like, I don't want to say a party song, but it's just people. That's what people request all the time. And my favorite part about this song is the second I start playing the little guitar riff in the beginning, everyone knows it. And then they start to cheer. And that feels pretty cool that you can make a guitar sound and people know exactly what it is. That's a good feeling.
You've got the whole crowd right there on your pick.
I wish I could make more of those.
Yeah, well, you will. You will. You mentioned the hook. And I've got that written on my notes, as a matter of fact.
He does.
Bourbon song. But yeah. When any song that says fine wine, bourbon, and shine, to me, you got it. You got it right. All right, let's give this a listen. Fine Wine from Brent Moreau.
Ooh.
Fine wine, a little bourbon and shine, coming to a stadium near you soon. I love it. I love that, Brent. That's one of my favorites.
And I think the hook line should actually be the name of a bourbon. Just saying.
Hope you can work on that.
I think you're onto something.
So what's on the horizon for Brent Moreau? What do you guys have going on? And what can we be looking for here soon? You mentioned a new album going to hit here soon.
Yeah, so these things take time, and it's like there's a lot of promotion to do with it too. And I want to say I got 90% of all the work done. It's just kind of going to be putting it out. And with that also comes music videos and stuff like that. And I think you're going to like the music video for Gray Baron.
All right.
Because that one's kind of, it's pretty funny.
So. All right. Where do we, you know, upcoming shows? Do you have anything coming up here anytime?
Yeah, I'm booked out through the rest of the year. But there also is like pop-up stuff like at theaters and whatnot. And you can find me at my Instagram, Brent Miro. M-I-R-E-A-U, if anyone's wondering. I guess it's kind of hard to spell, but yeah, Facebook or Instagram. Super. You want me to leave my phone number on here for anybody?
Well, that's up to you. I don't know.
Is that your thing?
I'm totally kidding.
No, we ought to respect people's privacy at least a little bit with this.
I already get insurance offers every single day. Well, I put in a
my car warranty on a regular basis.
So. I know. I made that mistake of shopping around for insurance, and now my phone will not stop ringing.
I think they listen to you. I really do. We were looking for a new sectional. I've got all kinds of ads for sectionals now. So it is what it is. All right. We got the last one we've got queued up for you here is Fixin' You, another great tune. Tell us a little bit about Fixin' You. What went into this?
So this one's pretty special to me because I needed a truck really bad. I was just in the transition period of needing a new vehicle, and I was younger, and my grandmother, she passed, and I got a small chunk of inheritance from her, and I said, I'll never sell it. I don't care. I'll fix it. Doesn't matter what it is. I won't sell it. And, so then I started kind of coming up with Fixing You, like how bad things can get. I'm still going to fix it. And then kind of the lyrics started, and people always think it's about a girl, but it's about my truck. And they kind of go together. It's like a play on words. Yep. And if people want to think it's about a girl, that's fine, you know, mm-hmm. But the truth is it was about a truck that it meant a lot to me. And, so I'd always fix it. So
this truck had some sentiment. It had
100%
your life.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Let's give this one a listen. It's deep. Let's listen to
not that deep.
Well, no, anything is about family to me. Yeah. So this is good.
Well, yeah, listen,
this is Brent Moreau and Fixin' You.
I just can't leave you lonely, cause you won't stop making noise. That engine light comes on a Friday, anything flies when you hang with the boys. Brother says that he can fix you. After work, just bring her on through. But if I get her up and running, put her to the curb and get something new. But she's not for sale, I got a lot of reasons. How to fix, I don't have a clue. You can take all them parts and labor, cause I'm fixing you. Some Earl, get her some fuel, cause she's not for sale. I got a lot of reasons how to fix, I don't have a clue. You can take every last paycheck and 'cause I'm fixing you. She's all yours now, and keep her clean, she won't let you down. This old girl, she's tried and true, but she hangs on tight when she hangs with you. 'Cause she's not for sale, I got a lot of reasons. How to fix, I don't have a clue. You can take anything you want in this whole damn world, but I'm fixing you.
I love it.
Yeah, it has even more meaning when you know what the story is behind it. And that's one of the reasons we love doing this show, is to hear what goes into making the song. And, man, that's even more cool now.
I know. I want to send you guys more songs and be like, hey, play this one too.
Oh, we'd love to.
let's hear this whole album right now.
Seriously, though, stay in touch with us because we'll keep doing this.
Yeah. I swear, I was just thinking, I was like, man, I hope I can come back on this thing because this is a lot of fun. I feel like we could make this a 4-hour podcast.
We can do that.
We can do it.
No question at all.
We'll do it sometime a little later in the day and then we'll...
We're free.
Yeah.
Tell us once again, where do fans find you? Where do they find all your music?
My music that's getting released. It will be on iTunes, Spotify, all the media platforms. So you can just type my name in. I have a artist page on iTunes right now. That's what I use, is iTunes. Other people use Spotify or SoundCloud, I believe. And we've got them on everything. So, or you can even pull them up on YouTube if YouTube's your preferred media, you know?
All right. Well, we're going to keep plugging you. We love what you're doing. This has been an awful lot of fun today.
I know. It's been a lot of fun.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining us, buddy.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
Quarter Peep, who we got coming up next?
Oh, yeah. So next week, we have something special going on. It is our Independence Day special with Adam from Sessions on Solid State Radio. And then we might actually do something too.
I think there's going to be a little merch giveaway of some sort.
So.
All right. So stay tuned for that. We'll have all the details with that. I think that's a wrap on tonight's show. I'd like to thank our special guest, Brent Moreau, one more time. Brent, thank you so much for being with us. This is a lot of fun today.
Thank you, guys. It's been a blast.
For all of you out there listening on podcasts throughout, we're on all the platforms now. It's not just Spotify anymore. So whichever platform you listen to, you'll find us. If you want to know what the latest going on, VehicleCitySound.com. That's got where we're going to be and our merch. Find us on Facebook, Vehicle City Sound, there as well. And if you want to reach out to us, tell us what we're doing right, tell us what we're doing wrong, maybe tell us about a new artist you want us to be reaching out to, VehicleCitySound@gmail.com. That's where you can find us. We'll look forward to hearing from you. Thanks one more time to Brent Moreau for being here. Brent, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Be good.